Nice. So I learned team stand. Yeah, Steve's a stander too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stand in my Louis XIV shoes. You like that? Something like that. Yeah. You know, you're like, I don't care.
I mean, I listen to a lot of rap, so I reckon I didn't know there was a 14th. I thought it only went up to 13th.
There's so many Louis, we can't keep track of them.
That's shoe talk now on the mega.
Right, I was like, I know Louis XIII is like $1,400 a bottle.
Jesus.
Just trying to impress upon the fact.
Steve, that. The problem is cognac is running out.
Okay, we'll have to talk about this at some point. Let's start the podcast because now we've got lots of good stuff to talk about.
Oh my God.
See if it goes.
I got a good deal for $350. It's a good deal.
Oh, come on.
Money goes farther.
Can't tell, but these are Uggs.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Mega Cast. The Mega Cast.
Ted! What's going on, man?
What up, Steve?
Very excited for today's MegaCast.
Yeah, man. Well, Happy New Year!
Have we not done one in a while?
Have we not?
I don't know anymore.
I don't know, man. It feels like we haven't.
Well, I'm also excited because we have a friend joining us. I say friend, we just met her. Juliet, nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you all as well.
Juliet Frette.
Thank you for pronouncing that right.
Frette.
Frette.
Yeah.
What is that, French?
It's French, although I've French. Kind of... I'm kind of angry at the French right now, so I kind of I'm not as proud of my last name as I normally would be. Because
I don't know if Louis XIV's shoes say I'm angry at French.
No, it has nothing to do with these shoes. Nothing to do with these shoes. No, I went there and I didn't like the food, and I was really, really disappointed.
How could you not like the food in France? It's like the basis of most of the food we like.
Supposedly, that's what I thought. Have you guys been?
I've owned the furthest I've left America is Canada. I don't even have
good
a passport.
Yeah. I've eaten at Bouchon in Vegas.
Our food is better than what they have.
I've had a beignet in New Orleans.
What did you get? Come on. No macaroons?
They're macarons, you know.
Come on, Ted, be cultured.
But, you know, our interpretation of French food is way better. Like, I went there and I swear to God they can't even salt a steak. Like, this is anywhere. And I can't, and this is probably what made it worse, is that I can't have dairy or gluten, so no bread and no cheese and no butter, no cream. And I was pregnant, so I couldn't drink, so I was just like,
no fun.
When am I going to, yeah.
No wonder why you hate the French.
I don't blame you. You can't have wine and cheese and bread. Why go to France?
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't how I planned it. Let's just say that. But, like, I tried to order other things, and their food was just not very, like, it just wasn't. Salted, I don't know. It's hard to say.
That's funny you said this because I just listened to Mark Maron's podcast and he had, of all people, Macaulay Culkin on. And I mean, I have no idea what the hell Macaulay Culkin's been up to other than it seemed like he was like in the gutter or something like that. But
yeah, I think he's off heroin.
Here's the crazy part. He lives in New York and he lives in France. And I'm like, so he's living the Home Alone life. Because then they go to France and they left him in New York.
The second one, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or was that the first one? That was the first one.
So does he have unresolved issues and he just continues to go back and forth between... one of the things he brought up was that he loves living in France because the food is so awesome because he goes to all these bakeries and everything is homemade from scratch.
I guess if you can have a... I mean, that's probably what they do well are the croissants and things. But if it's like, if you're like, okay, well, can I just have a really like nice piece of meat with some nice vegetables or potatoes even? And I'm just like, I speak a little bit of French, you know, so I was trying to tell them like, I really don't want anything bland. I've been running into a lot of bland food and they're like, okay, and they're bringing me something bland. I'm like, you know, so it was just really hard. And plus, I had all these food aversions in my first trimester of pregnancy. So I was like, I don't know, maybe this is partially just me being moody, you know, but yeah, last name is French. You're right. It's French.
Frette.
Frette.
Well, here, so just to give people an idea who Juliet Frette is, you will forever be Miss June 2008 in Playboy.
That's what they say.
Until it's gone.
Right.
Also, I love on your bio, it says you're the naughty feminist, a mean writer, a vain bastard, cat mom of the year, modern gypsy, angry vaginas Metatron, and hashtag huge set of ovaries.
That's about right.
That's also how we describe Ted.
Fantastic.
Minus the cat part. He doesn't like cat. No.
You know, I didn't realize you guys bragged about size, too. It's ovaries, huh?
Well, you know, it's really a double entendre. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I've learned way too much about ovaries these days. Originally, I didn't know I was going to be able to come here today because of all the baby-making stuff, the science that's going on. And it's been an ongoing
theme
on the podcast. Yeah. So we're still hoping, I think Saturday will be maybe a day that could be the magic that
will
happen.
You plan out having sex like that?
No!
Yeah, what are you doing on Saturday exactly?
Going to a fertility doctor to hopefully create a baby.
How is this going to happen?
It's an IUI, so it's like the turkey baster method.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, we're still trying to do it.
Are we
stocking up and putting it in the turkey? I mean, okay.
Yeah, feel free to ask any questions.
I mean, are you stockpiling it so it like you have a lot for the turkey baster?
Oh,
like,
yeah, there's a thermos in the refrigerator okay. Right now. No, I'm kidding.
This milk is salty.
Bro, we tried to do it the old-fashioned American way yesterday, and our dog continues to make things difficult in the bedroom.
Oh.
Dude, Dickie was that way too, man. The last like serious girlfriend I had had a tiny little papillon. French.
Oh no, even Dickie, worse.
But same thing. He would just sit in the corner, and like if you turned around, he looked like you were hurting. Like,
oh,
his
I
mom.
Wish. I wish.
Oh, that.
No, yeah. I wish that was the case. Lucy, my old dog, whenever we would get, she would jump off the bed and sit in the corner and face the wall. Like, I just don't want to see this.
Yes, well, that's respectful.
I appreciate that. Lulu, on the other hand, is a small Maltishan. She's like 7 pounds. As soon as you know we are trying to be romantic with each other, she gets clingy. So she starts laying on my leg. Ooh. And I'm like, I'm a psychological person. Like, that gets me out of my game. And my wife's like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, this stupid dog is on my leg. She's like, okay, we'll take a minute.
That's not just on you.
Okay, thank you. So then we try taking a minute, half a break. I'm not going to give too much information. But then all of a sudden, Lulu decides, I'm just going to get in the middle of them. So it kind of works her way, like, next to us. And then all I hear, and it's dark, and I'm trying to be romantic, and all I hear is,
oh, my God, yeah. Oh.
She's licking her chops, and I'm like, so I look at my wife, I'm like, and Sid's just like,
not what you want to hear.
This is not happening, is it? I'm like, no, we'll have to fight another day.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So dude, everything's against me right now, man.
Oh my God. You know, you remind me, my cat's like a dog. In fact, they call my cat Puppy Cat because of the breed.
What kind of breed is it?
Ragdoll. Although he looks kind of like a long haired Siamese, and he's, I call him a makeout kitten because he will put his.
Sorry, what is this? I don't know, cat. What does it look like?
Okay, so have you ever seen Homeward?
I like the nickname makeout kitten. Hey, yeah. Have you met my friend Ted? He's the makeout kitten.
Man, I'm putting all this stuff on me today.
Hashtag.
I'm big ovaries. Now I'm the makeout kitten.
These are all good things.
These are all good things.
I think so. I think it's funny, you know. But yeah, he will stick his tongue in your mouth if you let him.
Just like Ted. No, I'm kidding.
Just like all guys out there.
You know what? You're right. Just like Steve. Just like Ted. Just like the Megacast.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm gonna picture it as a small little lion.
He is like a lion. Yeah. He's got a mane and everything. You know what? Now I have to like get my phone out, which is across the room, so I don't.
You know, if you want to, let's do that, and we'll do our TED Talk like we usually do. And I want to talk to you because you've been listening to the Megacast, and I want to get your perspective on it. And we're going to learn more about Juliet as well during this podcast, so we have plenty of time to do all that. So I'll fire off the TED Talk. You can find your phone so we can see your little makeout kitten. And
do we got to get some push-ups in?
Oh, are we going to do the push-ups?
I mean, I feel like me and you have to.
Okay,
I
forgot about that. Are you okay with us doing some push-ups?
Yeah, as long as I'm on one of your backs. So.
Ted.
Well, I found a good one for the push-ups. I thought this would be a good song.
Are we still doing the Winter of Biscuit?
You know, usually we are, but I figured with our guest here, I thought it would be a very nice thing to make her feel at home.
All right.
And I found a song that I felt fit well with Juliet, being that she was Playboy's Miss June 2008.
Ooh, so we're going back to 2008 in June?
No, we're going to, I'm sure you've heard this song a million times. It's, how come my computer is, I'm having a rough day with technology.
I can see that, man.
Which is not shocking. Do you remember this song?
Yeah.
The Playmate of the Year song by Zebrahead.
Oh. I don't think I've listened to it for a while.
Yeah. It feels like 2008.
It's us.
Very old school.
Are we going to get 10?
Do we have to paint our nails?
Yes. To get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning.
All right, Mega Family, let's get 10.
All right, please do it.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I do have to say, you do have very nice shoes on.
Thank you. And I can actually attest the fact that you guys did the push-ups. It's
yeah,
not a lie.
Right?
Yeah. It's legit. I was impressed.
Who is this?
Zebrahead.
All right.
Let me see the cat.
Okay. So
the makeout kitten?
Makeout kitten on the stove.
Oh, my gosh.
That cat's awesome.
And then he's in. He's in the washing machine now. There we go. There's another one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is gonna turn into like. Oh God.
It's like don't close the top. Don't close the top.
It's like, you know, people show pictures of their kids. She's like, stop, I don't care. You know?
I do that with my dog, too. I'm like, oh, here, look at my dog. And people are probably thinking, oh, that's great. You have a little white dog. That's awesome.
It's like, show me more.
Yeah, nobody ever says that. Yeah. You have more pictures of your cat on your phone?
Occasionally, I get that from cat enthusiasts. And I'm like, are you sure? Are you really? Okay, good.
Cat enthusiasts?
Right, exactly. You know, I'm not the only strange cat lady in the world, but yeah, I mean, it's like someone's baby, you know?
Steve powered off.
Oh, there it is.
Tech Talks.
It takes like 3 minutes for it to go.
B-Tech Smith.
Steve, it's winter time, right? Football's almost over. Not a ton going on.
Sorry.
So I'm just going to remind people now, let's get winter ready.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, summer will be here before we know it. So if there's stuff we want to get done, let's get it done in the winter. So then when the summer comes around, we can relax, drink light beers.
What are some of the things you're thinking about getting done?
Oh, I'm like a walking meme. I've had salad 3 days in a row, so I mean, I'm healthy as F. AF.
I just put up a medicine cabinet in our bathroom.
See?
I was very excited about
getting
that.
Stuff done.
Big time. And I even put it up. I thought I'm all proud. Sid comes home. She's like, oh, thanks so much. It's great. Nice little glass shelves. And she's like, it's a little crooked. I'm like, I know. I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
Aww.
I am not a handyman.
Dude, that's like my TV. Like, it has the brackets so you can pull it out. But if you pull it all the way out and move it, you can tell it's angled just a little bit.
Yep.
Like, let's just keep it flush on the wall.
You got any big plans to take care of things in the winter?
Oh, gosh. We have so much to do. I still need to unpack. I mean, I just moved. I thought it would be a genius idea to, you know, move between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. So there's still certain rooms that are like looking like the inner ring of hell. But or actually, I should say one out of two. So there's kind of just clearing out that room and some furniture just needs to be purchased. Like, don't have a coffee table. I broke that out of spite, like maybe a couple weeks ago on purpose.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we're not going by that one.
You can't gloss over that.
Well, it's okay. You know, I know how I said I was actually living in Airbnbs and renting those out for a while and trying out different cities to live in. And then I bought out my Airbnb lease. And
We talked about that off the air. So yeah, you should tell people what when you say you're a modern gypsy, when you were telling Ted about that before we started the podcast, I'm like, oh yeah, she is kind of like a modern gypsy with Airbnb.
Yeah. I'm definitely, that's the most modern way to put it. So I came to Seattle because I could get away with like living in different cities for a few months at a time. And so Seattle was my next stop. And I came during the dead of winter and my Airbnb host was actually legally subleasing it to me. So, but I wanted to stay a little bit longer. So I kept kind of putting it off and off until, or at least putting off my leaving. And then eventually her lease was going to expire. So I took over the lease, signed on, and she didn't want to come back and get all her stuff that she was basically furnished by IKEA, you know? So she sold her stuff to me for like $400. And so I have all this, you know, I have all this stuff that I normally wouldn't own, you know? And so one of those things was this glass coffee table that was just a real pain and it was constantly shifting around. And I just got tired of it. And so like, I was just extra rough with it one day and just being like, what would happen if I moved it like this? Crash. I'm like, too late. Gotta get rid of it now. So I was like, oh no, what did I do?
You could have put it in the free section of like Facebook or Craigslist. It would have been a lot easier and a little less aggressive.
I mean, it wasn't that dramatic, but it was already kind of like, there was already some one sharp corner. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just could have been better with it and I wasn't.
When I moved one time, like 8 years ago, when I moved from Capitol Hill to Belltown, mm-hmm. I had this armoire that somebody had given me, but I didn't want it anymore. And it was just like IKEA or whatever. So me and my buddy Ben took a sledgehammer and just demolished it.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I thought you were like choke slam somebody through it. We're like, the hell with that table.
Sort of. Well, I picked it up and it just kind of crashed together. You know, like there was one of those things where it sort of folded on itself. I'm like, I wonder what would happen if I just picked it up like a pocketbook, you know, because the top came off and I did up and then just went splat together and knocked off like one shard. And now like there's one corner that's all sharp. And I'm like, well, this isn't safe to have in the house anymore. I should get rid of
this. Have a kid coming. You got to have it childproof.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Oh, yes, exactly. So now I have to get rid of this thing. I have no choice but to get rid of this horrible table I don't like. right? I have a weird thing. I'm very anti-clutter. I'm a minimalist. And so I have this strange, creepy sense of glee when I accidentally break something and have to get rid of it, unless I really love it and then I'm really pissed. But, you know, I really like having excuses, get rid of things.
Yeah, and imagine you'd have to be a minimalist if you're constantly traveling months on end. I mean, it would be a giant pain in the ass if otherwise.
Right. Although I've been rather sedentary for the last year, sort of, even though I did have some hiatuses a couple months away, but I was still maintaining the Seattle apartment that or Airbnb that became the apartment. But yeah, I've been chilling, you know, Seattle for a year, sort of, kind of.
You dig in Seattle?
Yeah, okay. It's like one of my favorite cities ever. Mm-hmm. I'm a food snob, so I really like the food here.
What places do you like going?
Oh gosh, there's so many. I really am a fan of gastropubs. To me, gastropub is just code for really high quality food and drinks.
I have no idea what gastropub means.
A lot of guys don't.
Ted, you're a city man. I feel like you do.
I am, but I'm on the other side. I feel like gastropub means you're going to charge me out the ass for two bites.
You're right.
And like, it's good food.
Is that like Lule? Is that a gastropub?
I don't know. I've never been over there.
That's the only one I know that was charging me out the ass.
You've been to one.
I have.
Yeah.
With you?
I think we've been together. I don't know. I like them, and I get it. It's a good thing. I really only know what they are because of goddamn Bar Rescue, but I don't know. I'd rather go to like a bar or like a steakhouse or something like that.
And that's cool about Seattle, too, is that they just got high quality like restaurants per capita. I feel like their restaurants are just better quality.
Yeah, and still, yeah. I always go back and forth, like, because there's a Belltown, or there's a one place in Belltown I really like. I don't know if it's technically a gastropub, but like their food's really good. I think it's really expensive, too.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
What are we talking, like, expensive-wise? Like, how much, like, just to say you're going out for a night out, what is it going to cost you?
I think cocktails, you're running, what, $10-$12?
That's about, yeah, but that's
and
like
then usually
Seattle.
Appetizers, like, 14 or 15.
Okay.
So, something like that.
I feel like that's everywhere in Seattle that isn't, sports bar specifically, you know, but I think, the problem I have with gastropubs, yeah, their portions are tiny. You're like, oh, great, I have a handful of fries that cost me $15, but at least they're soaked in truffle oil, sort of thing.
Like, there's one place I'm thinking of, and they have this cauliflower. That is phenomenal. It is the best cauliflower I've had in my life. But it's like $14.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be $14. Yeah.
It's gotta be organic.
I remember going to why there was like Dahlia Lounge, I think, one time, a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first times I went to somewhere that was somewhat fancy. I felt fancy. I was younger. It was like my mid-20s. I'm like, let's go. Yeah, it'd be awesome. And I ordered the scallops, and I'm like so pumped. And I looked at the price, and I'm thinking, well, they're just going to back up the truck with scallops for me because it was like $30 or $40 for the plate. And they show up, and it's like three scallops. And it's got like some kind of like truffle oil drizzle on it. And I'm just looking at them like, is more coming or like this is ridiculous?
Don't go back there unless, of course, it changed your life. Did that place?
It totally did.
Totally.
Yeah. Before that, I was just a mess. Now, okay. I mean, I got married then and I'm trying to make babies and it's all because of the Dahlia Lounge.
At least it was worth the $30.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back.
Now I'm just thinking about what restaurant changed my life.
Ooh.
Ooh, good question.
That's a good thing for all of us to think about.
Let's ponder on that. When we come back, we'll talk about what restaurant changed Ted's life.
Yeah, right?
When the main kid, plus, I want to learn more about you, Julia. We want to talk about what you've learned about us in your time binge listening to the Megacast. So we have lots of fun stuff. Plus, you've probably already experienced the bleed through of people talking around us.
Not too bad.
All right.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, I know you guys get irritated with the sound insulation issues, right?
Still. All right. So we'll come back and we'll talk more with Juliet.
You have it.
Let's see if this works. Come on. Doo-doo. Oh, there we go.
No need to revolt. The Megacast with Ted and Steve will be back. You got the sweat. You got the soul.
Intentionally ingesting highly toxic Tide laundry pods and posting the videos to YouTube challenging others to do the same.
You've seen the news. Procter & Gamble, makers of Tide, have tried to discourage this fad until they realized, if you can't beat them, join them. Introducing new Sriracha Tide Pods. The same tasty, thick Tide liquid you already love, now with the feisty kick of Sriracha sauce. It'll burn so much going down you won't even notice your esophagus is turning into mulch. New Sriracha Tide Pods. They go great with a tasty Ajax latte or a big helping of sushi and furniture polish sauce. Look for Sriracha Tide Pods today. On sale wherever really stupid people shop.
I feel like this is about to get heavy.
Why?
Because it's Slayer. And Slayer is heavy.
The Megacast is back.
To go with some Slayer. They're calling it quits, Ted. No, they're not. It's the last tour. Come on.
Oh, are you going to call them out on it? You're going to call these guys out on it being the last tour?
Yes!
I mean, you might be right.
Who is the band that has announced their last tour and not come
Kiss.
Back?
Kiss has done that forever.
Kiss, the Rolling Stones, yep. Motley Crue did it forever. Like,
dude, it's been a weird week. Elton John, Neil Diamond, and Slayer, three of my favorite bands, are all calling it quits.
Neil Diamond's calling it quits?
He's got Parkinson's.
Oh, damn, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, just yesterday they announced that, and so he's gonna still record until he's able to, and then he's not gonna hit the road, obviously, because of health issues. And then Elton John, I guess, has been battling some health issues, so he's calling it quits too.
Neil Diamond. I feel like this is a half-hour conversation I'm going to have with my mom. She's going to be real upset.
Really?
Yes! She loves Neil Diamond.
You need to bring your mom out when Super Diamond, because they're in town, I think, in February. They're like the world's greatest Neil Diamond cover band.
All right. Well, I'm going back east in February.
All right. Well, then I guess we can't make that happen.
No.
At least they're not dead. You know, they might come out of retirement or something, you know, surprise everybody, be like, oh, here's one more hit.
We should start calling you the Silver Lining.
I think
at least they ain't dead. Like, Juliet, that's a good call, man.
That can move everything.
I'm over here being sad and depressive.
You're not dead, Ted.
I'm not. Nobody's dead. Neil Diamond's still alive.
Right.
So I wanted to play this audio. I was excited to have you on, Juliet. And for people that want to follow you on Twitter, it's at Juliet Frette, Frette.
Yes,
and then JulietFrette.com as well, so they can see some of the articles that you've written for the Huffington Post and other stuff as well. So you're just knocking that out of the park. Post Playboy. You're the pregnant playmate.
Pregnant playmate. Well, that's a new one. Add a new hashtag to my identity and my image.
PP?
Yeah.
Well, that, and during the break, she referenced how you found out you were pregnant, and then the next week you went to France.
Yep.
And what did you say you were the...
Oh. Well, I was dragging the fetus around France by myself. I think that was what you liked to hear about.
I think that's a new Tyler Perry movie.
So was the food in France bad, or was it just the first trimester of being pregnant?
I was very upset about this. So I tried to talk to my friends who could eat dairy and gluten and were not pregnant, being like, am I just insane? Because I'm fully willing to accept the fact that I am insane, you know, because it has happened before.
You're on the right podcast then.
You know, yeah. Like I'm okay with that. And they're like, no, actually, the French food is pretty bland. A lot of people don't realize that until they go there, you know, unless it's covered in cream and you're eating cheese, you know, it's relatively bland. And I'm just like, okay, so I've heard these rumors before and I always disregarded them. I'm like, no, you just haven't gone to a good restaurant. I'm gonna go to France and they're gonna love me and I'm gonna love them because my last name is French and I speak a little bit French and everything's gonna be great. And we're all gonna be in love with each other. No. Not the case. So, not for a first trimester pregnant me. And at one point, I couldn't even stomach their orange juice. But I knew that wasn't their fault. That was just me getting like icky about food. You know, I was there. But
did you have crazy cravings?
No.
You hear those stories about people having like pickles and ice cream or whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, every woman's different. I haven't had any crazy cravings. What I've done is actually just had food aversions. And like, especially in the first trimester, you know, I felt like an AIDS patient. I'm like, why do I feel so weak? I mean, this is how everyone, maybe there's something else wrong with me. Maybe I'm dying of cancer as well, you know?
Well, like, don't check WebMD. They'll tell you that you are.
Yeah, right? I'm like examining my moles, being like, maybe that's melanoma. I heard that moles can get out of control when you're pregnant. Maybe that's melanoma, you know? But like, yeah, I had aversions. And so it was kind of like, what can I stomach today? It's like, one thing I could stomach one day, I couldn't stomach the next day. So it's just kind of a very fickle time. And now I'm a little better, but you know.
So what? How far along are you now?
6 months.
Oh, so you're seeing like a little bit of the home stretch.
Yeah, yeah. And what's really funky is, I don't know if you guys know this, but pregnant people have noses like bloodhounds, so I can smell like everything. I smell the glue and like the new bed frame I have. I'm like, can anyone smell that? I'm like, and they're like, no. I'm like, well, I can smell it.
I just thought what I did, what I was thinking. I'm like, crap, I just got back from the gym.
Yeah, I just showered like an hour ago. I think I'm good.
She's like, I need to take a break from you two.
Don't worry, I haven't smelled anything bad in here, but it is. It's funky, you know?
Well, I got this audio. I definitely want to play it because I went on YouTube and just typed in your name. And one of the things that popped up was a Playmate video. Like Dale, it's like sheet or something like that. It was like something from back in 2008 where you were just talking about who you are and what makes you who you are. So I grabbed that clip and I thought it'd be fun to kind of see where you are then as opposed to now. And plus, there's a great part that I think, Ted, you're just going to absolutely love. So
all right,
let's check out this video clip. Do you even remember doing this?
I do, and I'm afraid. So go ahead, play it.
Oh, perfect. Now I'm excited. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Juliette Forte, and I'm Playboy's Miss June 2008. I am 24 years old, and I was born on Christmas Day.
Oh, Capricorn, Christmas Eve.
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Do you like, celebrate your birthday anymore, or have you given up?
Oh, no. Like, my friends that don't have children, I invite them over, and we just get wasted on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Yeah, man.
But I didn't this year because of the fetus.
Fetus is the worst drinking partner ever.
I feel like fetus, though, is kind of like one of those words. I feel like it's fine. You're saying it. I don't know if I feel comfortable saying it.
It's okay. I've made it okay because I've said it.
Taking the power back in that word.
Right. The fetus will punish me, actually, if I do things it doesn't like.
I see a lot of dudes screaming about fetuses sometimes. I'm like, I think we should all take a time out.
Right. Just because you have friends that have fetuses, that doesn't mean you could just say it willy-nilly.
Right.
This is a safe place in here.
I feel
so
safe.
You know.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Safe space to speak.
My ambitions are holistic joy and progress, squeezing every ounce of possibility and insanity into my experience.
Now, you don't expect a Playmate to say something like that.
No, I guess not. And
did you find that you were a little bit different personality-wise and other Playmates?
Yeah, I guess I did. Although you'd be surprised, there's so many different types of Playmates. There are the types of Playmates that fit your stereotypes and others that totally don't. But I don't know. It's funky when I hear this because, I mean, that is true. You know, I was speaking the truth. But there was something that felt a little self-righteous about when I said it back then. And I was just a very self-righteous person. And to some extent, like, I'm trying not to be, you know, but back then I'm like, yes, I am this interesting. Please think I'm interesting.
Well, you're 24.
You know, yeah, it's like, I am so unique and interesting, and here's why, you know.
Well, you kind of have to, too, though, right? As a Playmate, because, like, I don't know, like, you're on this giant stage, but also you want people to know, like, there's more than just me on the pages.
Yeah, that was hopefully the goal, right? I was like, my favorite color is pink. You know, like, I didn't want it to be like that.
Damn it, that's my favorite color, too. It was great, because, like, of course you got, like, idiots on comments, right? And
right.
Like, I don't even understand any of the words that she said. She must be a lesbian. And
oh,
I was
yeah.
Like, gosh.
I actually just like the music.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like, it's like very 2008.
Right. When you hear that, like, bass, I'm just like, give me a Jaeger bomb.
All right. Let's check out more.
I am turned on by adventure, insatiability, inspiration, intrigue, and sensuality.
It's a lot of eyes.
Yeah, I don't even, honestly, you'd have to play that again for me to catch all those words. I think I did a service to the listeners when I was just like listing everything off in bullet point format. I'm like, I like this, 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 and but it's true. I like adventure and stuff like whatever I said.
What would you view if someone said, what's the best adventure you've ever been on?
Oh, geez. Well, realistically, it's probably the fetus. It's probably the fetus. The Adventures of Me and Fetus.
The sequel to Adventures in Babysitting.
Sounds like a 15-minute cartoon on Adult Swim. Fetus Adventure.
That makes every dude uncomfortable.
Hello, small unhuman or unborn thing.
It's like an alien. It's like I feel like I've got this little gerbil inside me. It's like running on this little freaking like
newborns aren't that far off from an
alien. Know. Like I've got this hamster on a wheel going dee 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 dee. I'm like, what is this? What's going on?
You have now just completely changed how I view pregnant women forever. Anytime I see a pregnant woman, I'll be like, oh, you got lemmy wings in your belly.
Pretty much. That's what it's like.
Sensuality. I am turned off by infidelity, pessimism, extreme moodiness, judgment, and generally being a pussy.
Oh, yes!
Best part of the
boom.
There's no other playmate that probably said that on their Playmate video daily.
Probably not. No. And I still hold true to the pussy part. You know, I don't. I don't like pussies.
In what way?
Well, I like people that kind of take risks and they're accountable and they let things blow up in their face and they're not afraid to be emotionally courageous and or physically courageous or both. Actually, I feel like that's all very necessary. But what I think is interesting about the clip you guys just played is that some of those words were ironically words that would describe my former self. Like, I don't like certain things, but those certain things were things that were a lot like me. Like, I don't like judgmental people. Like, I've been very judgmental, you know, extreme moodiness. I've definitely been extremely moody.
Especially with fetus.
Oh my gosh. No, it is especially with fetus. I feel like I have this resurgence of my dramatic self that I thought I got rid of years ago. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm returning to some kind of dramatic monster that needs to express herself and like who's closest to me that I can yell at, you know, like not that bad. You know, I'm so
glass table's making a lot more sense now.
But yeah, it's funny what we don't like about other people is actually things that we're trying to get over in ourselves. And so some of those things were that. And now being a pussy, I'm not really a pussy. So that's actually, I don't feel too bad about saying that. Mm-hmm. I mean, or at least maybe I'm in some regards. I mean, certain things scare me and sometimes I let that like freak me out and then I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But you know, yeah, I like brave people.
Sure. I only ask that because, like, as a guy sometimes, like, I have been in the situation before where a woman has used that word on me. And I'm like, all right, like, you can think what you want. Like, I just don't like to scream at people. It's like, I'm not going to scream at you.
Yeah.
And then I have other friends that are, like, I can think of a buddy right now that is 36 years old. And he gets in bar fights almost every weekend.
Ooh.
Right. So I'm just like, you're not a pussy. But, like, what are we doing? Like, what is this proven every weekend?
Well, yeah, right. You don't have to kick and scream to have that dominant sort of something.
Well, being a confident person, that doesn't mean you have to go pick a bar fight. Yeah, I can't associate myself with people anymore that are like, get drunk and want to get aggressive with people in a bar. It's like, okay, cool, you just beat that guy up. What does that get you in your life? Other than you just made the night awkward.
I know a lot of people like this, unfortunately. They'll get drunk and they'll be like, where can I pick a fight? You know, and it's like a machismo thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of cute, but it's kind of sad, you know, but, you know, I think it doesn't usually happen unless people are wasted or maybe not. I don't know. Does this guy get wasted or is he just
Yeah.
I like to limit the amount of things I do in my life that are going to make me feel really sore the next day. Getting old. Like, you know, the stuff I do already is pretty physical. So the idea of doing other stuff as well that will make me sore and also maybe hurt my face, I don't really want to do that anymore. That just seems ridiculous. But what's the most, you said you like people courageous or physical or whatever type of courageous behavior. What's the most courageous thing you've ever done?
Most courageous thing I've ever done, I think, is being open-hearted after getting hurt. I know that sounds like super Hallmarky, because there's other courageous things I've done, you know, like, you know, taking my clothes off for Playboy.
I was about to say, like, that seemed like a pretty courageous thing to me.
But yeah, I think a lot of people just don't do it. You know, a lot of people are like, never again, I'm never going to be hurt again, and no. And it's just like, you know, I got blasted over and over again, you know, getting upset, you know, just in relationships like all of us. And I've been like, okay, well, I'm just going to go out there, balls out again, and see what happens.
Oh great. Oops. Thanks a lot.
Sorry. Blooper.
That's right. I'll borrow your pen, Ted. Thank you, sir.
Anyway, nice pen, dude.
Good thing.
It's the nicest pen in the world.
It's one of the greatest pens.
Edit that out.
We're talking about this pen.
But yeah, just emotional courage of like trying to be vulnerable to other people when you've been, you know, burned, I think is something that's very simple that a lot of us forget to do. And even if we want to be more open emotionally, we oftentimes like our instinct isn't to be. We're very like fearful. But yeah, there's other like stuff I've done that seems like, you know, brave on paper, like, yeah, doing the Playboy thing, or some of my articles are kind of out there for certain people. And so just having that published and having my voice be that, you know, is a risk to some people. And, you know, just the fact that I'd be living in different cities and not really have a real plan about that seems like a huge risk to certain people. And having a baby, not being married, seems like a risk to people. You know, like all these things seem like a risk to people.
Because they are.
Right?
Why?
So maybe.
Hey, can you bring up Playboy? I got to ask, what mentally was going on in your head when all of a sudden here you are, like, you know, before Playboy, and then all of a sudden the Playboy issue comes out? I got to imagine that's got to be the ultimate mind F.
When the issue
comes out, now all of a sudden everybody sees you. People probably from out of the woodwork are talking to you like, oh my gosh. Well, you know, I mean, it's got to be psychologically just a lot to absorb.
Well, yes, but I actually had this, I actually had a slow start with Playboy in the sense that I was working with Playboy off and on for a couple of years before I was a Playmate. So I had originally worked with them because I was one of the girls of the Pac-10, you know, representing UCLA. And I got in there.
I was always a fan of the Oregon girls, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's Sarah Jean Underwood. She represented Oregon. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I just remember when I was younger, and I was like, wow, Oregon looks like it's the place to live. Everybody's hot.
Yeah, but I mean, right. I'm a little familiar. Like, I mean, she played with you with Sarah Jean Underwood. Like, she's like next level.
Right. And I know her. But what was interesting.
I know one of her exes.
You know what?
We probably know the same person.
I haven't met like her exes in recent memory.
Okay, now
you're writing it down.
All right.
I've probably seen pictures of him on Instagram.
I know him too.
I don't think I've met that dude.
All right.
But anyway, she's a very sweet girl. But when I first got involved with Playboy, it was so I could write my honors thesis on posing for Playboy from a feminist perspective. And so I did special editions like that. So I was not a bona fide Playmate until a couple of years after the initial posing. So I'd actually had this slow start as a lower level model. So I had some exposure to that kind of exposure, let's say. And so when I got to be a Playmate, I was more able to be level-headed about it.
That makes sense.
I was like, here's who I don't want to be, and here's who I do think I want to be, and at least I've had practice in, you know, dealing with this before on a lower level. So I had that luxury. But when the magazine did come out, yeah, it's a ton more press. Like, it's a lot more notoriety. And one thing is I had an article that I wrote that was published with the Centerfold spread, and they had heavily edited it without my permission, which was a shock to me. So that was kind of another thing I was contending with then. So I was like, oops, I didn't write that. I wouldn't write that. Oops.
Who was the, like, just coolest, like, down to earth celebrity that you got to meet that you're like, oh man, like, this is cool, like, this dude or this woman, like,
yeah, imagine at the Playboy Mansion, it must have been just like ridiculous amounts of celebrities coming and going and everything.
There's a lot. I've got some kooky stories about some kooky ones. But
yeah,
I
feel like it'd be easy to call out the creepy dudes.
Yeah.
We'll start with the cool, and then we're working our way to the creepy.
Yeah.
Well, there's some really genuinely good guys. Like John Lovitz is there a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, so I see him
the
there.
The critic?
The actor?
Yeah. You know, from the show.
Remember the critic?
Oh.
The little cartoon he did?
Oh, geez. I live under a rock sometimes. I probably would if you showed it to me. You know, my memory could be better.
I remember one time he came in studio and he brought his dog, and he was he was a nice guy, but he was just like he was more worried about his dog than even doing the interview.
That's like David LaBrava, God, what was his name? On Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, that's
he was
right.
Like the scary dude on there. We had him in, he does tattoos. Happy. Did you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
I haven't, actually.
All right, so Happy's like the enforcer, like, even when they torture him and stuff, like, he doesn't break. So when he was coming in, he was like, he's got to bring his dog. And we were like, okay, no big deal. And here's this big badass dude from the show, and he has a little tiny chihuahua that sits in his jacket.
Oh, no.
And it's got something wrong with him, so it's like this the whole time.
Tongue's
just out.
All right, so let's work our way into the creepy.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Was it Pauly Shore?
Well, how did you know?
Really?
Pauly Shore has a reputation, like, among everyone there.
Is it like when you become a playmate, you start going in a mansion, somebody pulls you aside, like,
avoid Pauly Shore.
And like, hey,
basically.
Look, yeah, like, they're here, they're, stay away from Pauly Shore, stay away from Fred Durst.
Well, Fred Durst I haven't heard too much about.
I'm just kidding, I don't know anything about
Fred.
I mean,
you never know, but, I mean, I actually have been out of the scene, due to the fact that I moved out of L.A., but yeah, that is a typical, conversation with people in the know. It's just like, yep, stay away from Pauly Shore.
Could you imagine that's your life? Like, I would like legit. Maybe he's just so full of himself he doesn't care. But that would bum me out if everywhere I went, there were people warning other people to stay away from me.
Well, you guys might find it interesting. I once, when I was in college, due to a dare, went on a date with Pauly Shore. Okay. And this was before I was warned about Pauly Shore. But I'm sure he's a great guy now. You know, people grow and they,
he's a good guy.
And, over time. Oh, he was interesting. I mean, he was never a bad guy to me. He was just, he was surprising, you know. But I wasn't actually going to go on the date. This was when I was 21. And, this was before, I was a playmate. I did lower level special editions work. And he asked me on a date. And I'm like, I don't really want to go, and I already sort of said yes to it. And one of my roommates, because I was going to back out, one of my roommates, and we're all still in college at this point, she's like, oh, just go and like come back and tell us what it's like. And I'm like, just, it'll be funny. And I'm like, okay, it'd be an interesting social science experiment, So he's funny. I mean, he's a really funny guy. I haven't talked to him in years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though I've seen him at the mansion, every time I've seen him, I'm like turning the other way. Okay, I'm walking the other way, but.
What was the craziest thing you ever saw at the mansion?
Craziest thing I ever saw, the mansion has like a, the reputation for like, orgies and stuff. Like, I never saw these things.
That's funny because I have an article I printed and it said the headline says, yes, orgies happened in the grotto.
On the other side, I feel like a lot of stuff I read is like, especially in the last 10, 15 years, like, but there's like families and stuff, like most of these parties. Was it like the big, the Midsummer's Eve party? I heard is still crazy. But other than that, it sounds like a lot of it is just parties.
Yeah. And Midsummer's
Eve party. I thought you just said Summer's Eve party. I'm like, that doesn't seem like a very fun party.
It's Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, there.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Sponsored by Summer's Eve.
Yeah, I actually have a fun. Yeah, I did some epic things myself at Midsummer Night's Dream this past year. But for the most part, the more that like it's been shifting, over the years. So stuff happens in the grotto. I just haven't seen it. Like they close the party down now at 2 a.m. So when they used to let it go further, like if you were the type to stay later, then stuff would go down. But I never like stayed to be like seeing that stuff. So stuff happens. I just never stuck around for it or was a part of it.
It's like nothing good's coming after 2 o'clock. I'm going to call it a night. Kind of that mentality.
Or just, just a lot of people, a lot of fun people leave and just like random drunk people are just there and just kind of doing their thing. But now they just shut it down because it's become very corporate now, you know? So, and then Hef passed right after the recent Midsummer Night's Dream. So things have changed even more so. And they sold the mansion out from under him years ago. But now they can't even use it now that Hef is gone. So that was the last party at the mansion, to my knowledge, was last year.
You hear conflicting stories about Hef. What was your experience with him? I mean, some people are saying stuff that's like, blah, blah, blah. And then other people are like, he was an incredible like father figure. He was this, he was that. What was it like for you?
Well, I was one of the, I'd say, last playmates of the Playboy golden ages, and Hef was really old when I came on board. And he just, to me, he seemed like a very kind of sweet old man and he couldn't hear very well. He had a hearing aid.
So that's why he was able to date three playmates.
No, but you're right, though. 2008 is kind of the end of that era.
Yeah.
Because, right, like once we get a couple years past that, there's so much nudity on the internet and on your phone and everything. I feel like the idea of going and buying the magazine kind of passed.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a thing, but it was taking it. I mean, that was right around the time that we had that recession, too. So I came on board like right as the economy was crashing. but Hef is, I've always known him to be really a generous person. He's really generous. He's really kind. I think he's only ever wanted friends. And yeah, I mean, things he's done in his life, I mean, just like all of us, aren't pristine, all the things we've ever done, but he's been like the best boss I've ever had. He's been like, he'll open his home to you and, So I've only ever known him as kind, and everyone's cool. always vying for his attention. So it was hard for me to actually like develop a really deep personal connection with him.
Yeah, it's probably like a line of people if you even have like 10 minutes with the guy, and then all of a sudden it's like The Bachelor. Have you ever watched like those? I watched those, yeah, sure. But you know, you'll see sometimes like somebody's talking to whoever the main person is, the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, and then there's like other people like just waiting for that moment to just swoop in.
Excuse me, do you mind if I cut in? I like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's that whole SNL skit they do with The Bachelor.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's just the dude sitting on the bench, and then, like, every 30 seconds, it's like some other girl, excuse me, can I cut in?
Oh, that's what it is.
And they always sit down and go, ooh, I really like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this week, they switched out The Bachelor halfway through, and the girl's like, are you a different guy? And he goes, doesn't matter.
You're right, though. That's kind of how it is. You know, like everyone's trying to get his attention and or what did, I should say. And it's quite obvious when people are like, excuse me, you know, like and they get in your way. And
Steve and I get that stuff all the time.
All the time. Yeah. In fact, there's a couple waiting outside. We have to take a break and talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're baristas. Bikini. We brought your specific coffees. Like, I know. All right, ladies.
The hot latte again.
Sign up, rest. Get up, move along.
That's a Seattle thing. I haven't heard of that.
That started like, here. Yeah,
I'm really shocked. I'm like, I'm from California, where this thing would probably, you know, be more of a success. Yet here I come to Seattle, where it's like 40 degrees right now, and I'm hearing of this. You know, however problematic it may or may not be socially, I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize this existed. But in Seattle, like, why Seattle?
I know. I was shocked. I thought, oh, this is just something that's happening all across the world, country, and now it's slowly making its way in other. Like, I think Nevada and California might have a couple of like bikini barista places, but for the most part, it's right here in the Northwest.
Get that small town talent.
That's right.
Spill coffee on yourself. Like, what if I spilled coffee on myself wearing a bikini? Ouch.
Well, I also felt bad for like my wife when I first started dating her. She was a barista with clothes on. That's a shocking.
Reasonable.
Right. So she had those stands, and more often than not, a guy would pull up, look at her, and then just go, oh, you don't wear a bikini here, huh? And she's like, no, I just serve coffee. And he would just drive off. She says that would happen all the time. Like, it has to suck for a regular, but, you know, baristas that wear clothes, because all of a sudden everyone just assumes every barista stand that you pull up to is going to be a girl in a pasties.
Are there any male equivalents of this?
There was.
In Bremerton area, yeah.
And then there was one on Capitol Hill, too, for a while.
Wasn't it called, like, banana hammocks or something stupid like that?
I would totally go there and have... I think it would be a nice field trip to go to a place like that if it still existed. But no, it doesn't?
Maybe one somewhere. You're right. There was a Capitol Hill one. There was, like, a Bremerton one. And that's the thing about it.
Like a radio visit, like a radio field trip visit.
We should. We should go on a... Or we should just start our own.
Yeah, I just think at the end of the day, it's about the bodies, right? So, like, women will go to a women's strip club, like, you know, what's the old Seinfeld line? Like, women's bodies are beautiful, this and that. Like, men's bodies kind of utilitarian.
I don't agree.
So I just don't know that there was a huge market to be like, let's go see a sexy dude pouring coffee.
I would love to see more men's bodies, but, you know, call me straight, but I really do like men's bodies. Right,
you with the big words, you're a lesbian, you know?
You know?
Yeah, yeah, using all those three-syllable words.
How dare that person do that?
I don't get it when straight women say that men's bodies are weird or scary looking, because I'm like, are you sure you're straight? Because, like, if you liked men, you should probably like their bodies, not to say that they should give you dick pics unsolicited. You know, I don't like unsolicited picks, but I'm just saying,
unsolicited,
right?
There needs to be a little give and take.
Right, I gotta solicit.
Right?
I will say this: the only thing I can talk about women's bodies and male bodies, right? So, I mean, I'm a hairy dude.
No.
So usually, like, I used to always trim up my back, but then every girl I've ever dated was like, "Stop trimming it. I like it now." I was like,
"I agree. Don't shave your back.
Yeah,
don't
do it." It's so weird to me, though. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Well, what's your why don't you want people to shave their back? I can't believe I just asked that question.
Well, it's okay. Like, okay,
it's the question America's been waiting for.
Yes.
All right, imagine, like, because you're gonna have outgrowth pretty soon. It's like imagine your woman just rubbing your back or your partner, or whoever, and you're getting like these little stubble, prickly, like, you know, like.
Yeah.
So say you're the like a really really hairy man, which is natural because you're a man. You should, you know, if you have hair, that's natural, you know. But say you shaved your chest and you shaved your back and you shaved. I mean, like, just imagine rubbing up against you with skin would be like prickle. It's just like, you know.
I trimmed my chest hair one time, and my arms were shaved because of when I got tattoos. And I remember my wife even saying, she's just like, it's hair to grow back because it just feels like I'm like cuddling with sandpaper.
That makes more sense. I just always thought it was like an animalistic thing, like. Now well, you've laid with the bear. It's you want to feel the fur.
That's true, though. I mean, I think that's partially true as well. Like, and you make a good point about shaving your arm hair. Like, I've never shaved my arm hair in my life, except mm-hmm. for like during a shoot, they shaved my arm hair once, and I'm like, "What do you guys? What's wrong with my arm hair?" You know. So that's the only time ever. I mean, like even me as a female, I'll shave my legs, you know, because right. I like to do that. But yeah, arms, like I'm like, "Ooh, what's this prickly? No, it feels weird."
That'd be weird. Yeah, you're just there, and they're like, "Oh, got the razor out.
Yeah,
give us your arms."
Yeah, yeah, but it was only once, you know, and I never felt like going back because you know it just grows back, you know, prickly and. I have to get used to it again.
So let's take a quick break. When we come back, now that we've learned about you, I want to know what you've learned about us in your binge listening experience of the Megacast. So we'll be right back when the Megacast returns.
Let's jam out to this heavy song, crack a beer, and wait for the Megacast to return.
The following is a message from the World Wellness Organization. This flu season is shaping up to be one of the worst on record, so it's important that you take the following precautions to avoid contact with the influenza virus. First, when entering a room or hallway, refrain from using germ-covered doorknobs. Instead, get in the habit of kicking in doors like you're a badass undercover cop. Second, avoid breathing in the flu virus by wearing an approved scuba mask and air tank. Be sure to take a minute to appreciate how awesome you sound.
You cannot sicken me, flu.
And finally, don't just wash your hands. Put them under a high-pressure hose. While a priest and or exorcist frightens the flu virus by rambling something in Latin. Now sit back and relax while the influenza virus runs for the exits like the gutless, worthless germ it is. All while cursing you and your friends at the World Wellness Organization, who wishes you a healthy and carefree flu season.
Ted and Steve, two badass dudes. The Megacast is back.
Raindrops, drop top, smoking, no cooking the hot box. Cooking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up from the crock pot. We came from nothing to something. Hey, I don't try nobody, grit the trigger. Nobody call up the gang and they come and get gang. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. Hey. It's bad and bullshit.
That's jam.
It is. I still love it.
What kind of music are you listening to?
Good question. I cherry pick songs all over the place, so I like things like New Age Celtic and world music.
What
and,
the hell?
Wait, give me a second.
He must be one of them lesbians.
Totally.
Are we river dancing?
Sometimes.
Who was that guy? Michael
Flaherty? No. Michael.
Right? The Lord
I don't
of the
know.
Dead.
I don't know.
Flanagan?
Flanagan?
That's
the Irish.
Seamus. Sorry.
Well, that's not the only thing I like. I'm just saying, like, I cherry pick things from all over the place. You know, I like pop and rap and hip hop and stuff like that and like Metallica. So I cherry pick things all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some country I occasionally like. So it's just kind of everywhere. I have little cherry pick songs from like all these different genres, except for the like super heavy metal, you know, screaming stuff, which my boyfriend loves. You
okay.
know, which I'm like,
Cookie
he's like,
Monster.
He's like, no, this drummer's really talented. I'm like, good. I can't tell you what he's doing.
Yeah, he's like on speed.
On the double bass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you're clearly broken up about Slayer calling it quits then.
Oh, I'm just losing sleep. Who's
I can tell.
Now, can you just tell me who Slayer is? Just, no, I'm just.
I was like, why
do
we play them?
All right, so
it's a band. People with goatees love to scream.
Goatees? goatees.
Lots of spikes on their bracelets.
Right.
So when we set this all up and we make it all happen, you're like, hey, send me a link of what you guys have been doing. I'd love to check it out. And I'm like, oh boy. Okay, either this is going to be them. We're going to get the email from Juliet that's going to be like, ah, you know what? I'm going to pass on coming on the podcast. Or, you know, I mean, I feel like it's what we're doing is fun and we got great people that listen, the Mega family. But I always like never know how people are going to react to it that have never heard it. So you listen, you binge listen to a bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to hear what your opinion, your thoughts, what your takeaways were. What did you learn about the Megacast?
Well, the first thing that stuck out in my mind was Chick-fil-A. Like, I think I mentioned already. I'm like, wow, so much about Chick-fil-A. I
mean, Ted got me hooked on the nuggets.
Eat more chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just never have had Chick-fil-A, and I know that everyone but me has had Chick-fil-A, and that, of course, that'd be something maybe you'd want to tease me about, because I haven't had it, nor do I even plan to have it. You know, I think I might just go get a rotisserie from Whole Foods or something, you know, if I'm like, want some chicken. But I know that's like a cultural thing that just makes me an outsider that I'm not a part of. So,
are you, because, okay. I mean, when you mentioned earlier, I mean, it doesn't sound like you would like it, because it's fast food, you know, and
yeah.
You seem like you're into like the what is it called? The macro bar or whatever?
Food snobbery.
What
you
was
know.
The bar that we were talking about earlier?
Oh, Gastropub?
Gastropub's macro bar.
Yeah. Or just even, you know, I used to eat fast food all the time when I was a teenager before I became, like, conscious about certain foods that, like, irritated me or my skin. Or just, you know, before I became as snobby as I am now, and I am definitely a snob. But I used to love Taco Bell. You know, I used to love, like, the, you know, quesadillas and the Mexi Melt and, like, mixing the guacamole in with the pintos and cheese and all this stuff that I can't have anymore because it's got dairy in it. And
Mexi Melt. Yeah, that's old school.
Yeah, I know. Really old school. Yeah. Or like a bean and cheese burrito with no onions, you know.
The Mexi pizza.
Chick-fil-A for a while, right? Like, Chick-fil-A was only in the South. So, like, when I was a kid outside of D.C., like, if we went to Columbia Mall in Columbia, they had a Chick-fil-A in the food court. So it was kind of like in and out. Every time you went to the mall, because they had one, you got Chick-fil-A. And then they started building freestanding Chick-fil-A's when I left. So now there's one out here. I was like, Steve, we got to get those nuggets.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
And we got them before we got too wasted. So that way later on in the night. Yeah.
Right,
we're two men that like to have slumber parties. In other words,
that's another thing I noticed. I'm like, you guys are like legit, you know, going to look for a Christmas tree together. You're going to have slumber parties.
We did.
You're going to do. Yeah. What? How'd that pan out?
Actually, the tree this year was good. We called it the unicorn tree.
Oh,
it's got a weird like horn on it. Like it's just like this weird horn that pops out of the top of the tree. And we're totally like Charlie Brown Christmas. We're like, that's the perfect tree. It's so flawed and beautiful.
Yeah, it's right.
Now we're going to get a picture of it, right?
Yeah, I like how you show pictures of your cat.
Oh, my God. It's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa or something up there.
Yeah.
It looks like a shaft. I'm not going to lie.
All right. So my neighbors...
It's a dong tree.
I've had a couple people came over on Christmas Eve. My one buddy's girlfriend couldn't let it go. She's like, your tree is so phallic. And I'm like...
There we go.
It's the unicorn tree. She wouldn't let it. She's like, all right, so why did you... And I was like...
So these women, man, they got penis on their mind all the time.
We do. We are more sexual than you want to know or admit. Anyway, continue.
Oh, that's fine. I'm fine with women talking about it. Sometimes I just get annoyed with dudes. Certain dudes, like, they just talk about penis all the time. It's just like, enough. Like, Steve and I were drinking Fireball. Seemed like a fun tree.
Right. At no point did penis come up.
Yeah.
But your psyches chose the penis tree anyway, right?
But we thought it was a unicorn, man.
Okay, the unicorn penis tree.
So wait, will you...
Don't blame us. Blame Starbucks. Putting out a unicorn frat. See, unicorns everywhere.
I blame Neil Patrick Harris, man. Harold and Kumar.
Yes.
Just whatever we do, we just can't take responsibility for our actions. Just whatever we do.
It's a unicorn tree.
Okay.
Stop twisting this into something else. So see, you penises make people mean.
They do, dude. They freaking do. I'm meaner than ever right now.
So you're saying women do think about and talk about dong way more than we realize.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm pretty bad myself. You know, I'm not just talking about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm, you know, terrorizing my boyfriend for it. I get upset when I don't get enough of it. You know, I'm just me like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe that's like
enough.
TMI right there.
He's like,
you know?
Dong is not community property.
It's like,
all right, here's a question Steve and I talk about. If you had your preference, morning or evening?
Well, I'd like to say both, actually.
You got
to
pick one.
Yeah, you can't be all the
above. Do I have to only get it once a day?
No, like, no, we're just saying, if you had to, you know, it's like,
one small white dog sitting on your leg, yes, sometimes you'll get it at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, geez, that's rough.
That's a good question. This is awesome.
Okay, yeah. You know what? Morning is probably not my favorite time because everyone has morning breath, and it's kind of like, well, do I have to get up and brush my teeth, or do I want to be self-conscious the whole time? At least with the evening, you can, you know, have, you know, fresher breath and it won't be like super unsubtle if you want to go brush your teeth. The problem with the evening is it's usually after dinner and you're all bloaty. And now I'm always bloated now because of the fetus, like we talked about, you know, but
this has been my theory for you. Number one, I'm just a morning guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think it's awesome in the morning. Gets the day going.
And I think for guys, that's when you're at your prime performance.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Hormone peak, supposedly. I would take advantage of that, sure. You know, like I said, you know, us ladies, you know, we're a lot friskier than you think, you know.
We need to just keep breath strips on the nightstand.
Oh, yeah. I feel like if I'm dating a girl, I'm usually pretty good because I want to have sex in the morning. Uh-huh. So when you get up to pee, just like, I'm going to brush my teeth
real quick, just in case. Or just like keep a little bottle of mouthwash.
Yes.
And swallow it. Screw it.
No, it's super smart. No, I think that's great. Good. Good for you, dude.
Because Ted cares.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah, well, just
I hope everyone's listening to this right now. Please brush your teeth when you go to the restroom in the morning before you return to your lady.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was going to say morning, but then the other theory I've been working on for years is that, right, like, what's every couple, the argument they always have, right, about goddamn food. So my theory is just have sex and then whatever restaurant you pick. Like, I'm not a vegan, like, Steve's wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your wife's a vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. So but I feel like if I had sex with a girl and then she goes, let's go to vegan food, like, hell yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah.
Dinner or sex before dinner. Solving relationship problems.
I try to go vegan with my wife. I was like, I'm all about solidarity in the relationship. Like, whatever you want to do, I'm there. Let's do this together. It'd be more fun. It's an adventure. But I said yes, and then I sat on the couch, and I started thinking, like this laundry list of things that are not vegan started coming out, like pizza, oh, no, sushi, salmon, burger, chicken wings. And I looked at my wife, and I'm like, babe, I need to talk. And she's like, well, what do we need to talk about? I'm like, I can't be vegan. She's like, we haven't even had one meal since we established that we're vegan. And I'm like, yeah, I'm already out. I'm done. So I eat vegan when she cooks, so I'm not going to be like, no, cook me some meat. But if I'm going out with Ted or wherever. Say,
Steve eats a lot of vegan. But
I'm like 70% vegan.
When we go out, it's always sushi. Or when we go to Spokane, we go to this barbecue joint.
Yeah. Sushi, chicken wings, just give me meat. And now Daniel's, it's awesome because they now have a vegan menu. The steakhouse.
No kidding.
Oh, I like really? Daniels. The one that charges for like parking and that one right on like East Lake area?
Go to the one in Bellevue. And you can park at the Bellevue collection is.
Right. And the Bellevue one is also free parking. It's up on like the whatever floor of the Hyatt.
I like that.
Like the 39th floor. So you got a great view. And yeah, there's a full on vegan menu that is. And my wife got that. She didn't get a steak. That would be really awesome if she did. But she got the vegan stuff. And there's like 6 or 7 items on it. And I tried it. I was like, you know, honestly, I'd probably just eat the vegan food here because it's that good. And it's pretty cheap. It's like, well, you know, for Daniel's, it's like $20, $30 for an entree as opposed to the filet mignon that I had that was like $50-something.
I've
that
eaten
was delicious,
it once,
though.
And you're right. That is super expensive.
Worth it, though.
Yeah, a lot of people like Daniel's, for sure. I'm on board with you guys for the barbecue, too. Like, I'm absolutely a meat eater myself. So even though I've got these restrictions, like, I'm all about the fatty meats.
Got to go to Jack's. Jack's Barbecue, Airport Way.
Yeah?
It is the truth.
There's another good barbecue place right near Art Marble. Do you guys know?
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah.
Mike's a good dude.
Yeah, yeah. So
Ted knows who it is, too.
So it's really good. They make their own sauce.
It's another guy.
No. It's like, you are so Seattle. And that's not a negative thing. Like that's what I love about Ted. Like, we'll go anywhere. He's like, oh yeah, I know that bartender over there. Or I know the waitress. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to ride your coattails and hopefully we'll get some good service.
And where Art Mabel sits used to be a marble shop back in the day. That's how they got the name.
Huh.
Before the restaurants came in, and his family owned it for like a couple generations before that.
Oh, that's interesting.
What kind of food is it?
Good? I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Kind of like American, but they have like some jerk chicken. They have some different things. Okay. He has like a real chef in there. God damn it, man. You know one of the bar managers. He used to be in a local band. Then he quit drinking, and now he just works in restaurants. So it's got to be a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But no, the food's great and everything. And then, yeah, I like the guy. And last year they were bourbon and bacon. They had bacon empanadas.
Hmm.
I like what they have for sure, but they're kind of like a gastropub. They definitely don't undercharge
right.
for their food. You know.
All right, so, any other fun little things, nuggets that you learned about the MegaCast?
Well, how you guys pay attention to some current events, and you guys were talking about how certain words can't be said on the radio but can be said on podcasts, which I found like pretty interesting. Like certain topics, like the whole like no one can say anything nice or bad about Trump, which I thought was poignant. And then
you ever met Donald? Because I mean, I read a story that he used to frequent the Playboy Mansion. Did you ever meet Donald Trump?
I was never unlucky enough to meet him. I was never unlucky enough, but gosh, you know, like it's, you're totally right. Like, and as someone who got her degree, I mean, I got my degree in like I'm an academic feminist. I got my degree in like women's studies, you know, so I used to be like a really angry political type, and now I've kind of shifted my approach. But it's kind of a funky thing. You can't really talk about anything without like pissing people off, you know, one way or another, even if it's like benign, you know.
Right, this knee jerk.
Yeah.
You hear the name, all of a sudden you're angry for one reason or the other. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. It's offensive.
My thing is, if you want to sit there and talk politics and talk about policies or this and that, fine. But we just argue talking points, and we never talk about the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, that's what drives me insane. Like, if you think every NFL player hates the military, I can't talk to you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. You've already made up your mind.
Right. Nothing I'm going to say is going to change that mind, and we're jumping off the cliff on a very ignorant. You know, I mean, like we're starting off on a very ignorant level.
Right. It's the same way I think if you're a Democrat and you come in at a Republican and just go, Trump has to be impeached, and you start on that. Far of an angle, like, all right, well, that guy's not going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so even if you agree or disagree, you know, just the fact that we can't seem to have civil conversations. And I was just I was actually thinking about this last night. The scourge of political correctness is more oppressive than the oppressions it pretends to protect us from. So that's another big problem if that can be unpacked. So it's like political correctness, like worrying about offending people is actually going to paralyze us more than the actual issues that we find offensive to begin with. You know, so we can't really go anywhere.
That's a great point. Including myself, I needed to like hit pause for a second, like let that digest, because you're absolutely right. I mean, we're just so worried about upsetting other people. And it's just like, geez, man, we're all going nuts in the process.
Yeah, it's analysis paralysis is what it is, you know.
There that lesbian goes, saying these big words again, Ted.
I don't think everything, like...
big words.
I am open to anybody's sexuality, this and that.
Huge set of words, hashtag.
Do what you want. But, like, I'm shocked that I'm now a cisgender, like, or gender. Like, how is there, like, a slang term for me?
Can you explain that to me? Because I don't even understand this.
Oh, it just means because I was born, like, because I'm a dude, and I just like chicks and, like, do normal dude stuff. So now I'm the cisgender.
I've never even heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard the word, but I just haven't heard it described to me. I'm like, so, because I was actually, another thing I was thinking about and talking about last night was this whole idea of gender fluidity and how it's pretty nebulous and how people don't really know how many identities there are anymore. And people don't really know how to handle it or talk to people. And people get pissed off because it's like, well, why aren't you calling me by what I want to be called? It's like, well, you never told me what you want to be called, so I don't know what to call you. And can
yeah,
you just
right.
tell
it's
me,
very tough. And then sometimes know? Is it, you know, do I say him, her, like this and that? And you get caught up and it's like, dude, I am not against your lifestyle. I just screwed up the word.
Dude, yeah. I had that blow up in my face a little bit ago. Ted knows. I don't know if you listen to her. I go through like I do wrestling classes. So I'm doing like the theatrical combat sport of wrestling. And one of the people that I was wrestling with.
That is a nice shine on what wrestling is.
Thank you.
That is unbelievable.
Sweaty guys rolling around together.
Say that one more time.
Theatrical combat sports.
Whew.
Yeah. That's this lesbian over here talking about guys just wrestling. Me. No, well, anyway, so we have, I mean, all walks of life, though. It's kind of cool. Like, you have all types of people, guys, girls. There's a guy that considers himself, you know, is a girl. He goes by a girl name, and I have no problem. I don't care, you know? And then so in my head, I'm like, there's this other person whose name is Stephanie, right? So but it's a dude, but his name is Stephanie. So I'm like, okay, long hair, very feminine. So I just assume... when we're talking blah, 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 I'm like, oh, yeah, like she wants. And he goes,
oh, dear.
It's he. And I'm like, oh.
See, I would have thought saying she would have been the correct thing.
Right. I was afraid to offend by going he because I've already, like you said.
Stephanie is a feminine name.
Right. It's very feminine
so
name.
So you thought, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
Long hair, dresses feminine, acts feminine, super cool person, always enjoyed wrestling and doing stuff with them or her. See, like you said, like before I know, I don't know what to say. So I'm trying to think, I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to refer to him as a her out of respect. And then he didn't get mad. He kind of gave me a hard time, but he's like, dude, I'm a he. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. And then he's like, don't worry, I get a lot of free drinks because of this. And I'm like, well, okay, like, thank God, like, you're able to laugh it off because it could have been a really really awkward situation between me and him.
Well, think about it, if it had gone the other way, if you had called him a him, but he self-identified as a her, and then all of a sudden you're... Ugh. I mean, I think the problem is that we're not giving each other compassion during this transition of, like, verbiage and mm-hmm. and labeling, you know? So I think, you know, society is changing, and if we're going to give people, like, the... If we're going to be compassionate toward people's different identities, and we also need to be compassionate about, you know, getting other people, like, giving other people a break when they're trying yes. to figuring it out.
100%
you know,
agree.
because I think it's not helpful when we demonize people who might not be aware. You know, there's a spectrum of people. There's a spectrum of people that are very progressive, and there's also people who aren't super progressive, but a lot of them can, like, get this wrong, and to call them, like, you know, offensive, or like they're doing an act of violence by not getting something right. Like, we have to be compassionate to both sides if we're going to see any progress on this. So that's kind of, like, my perspective on it. And like, no one really has a good answer. Like, some people are like, there's only two genders. And there's others who are like, well, there's infinite genders. And it's like, well, whatever you want, like, just make sure that we're nice to each other enough yep. so that we can.
But I mean, I don't think people can handle that. I mean, people, to me, if I ever bring this up, people bristle at the fact of, like, you ever heard of, like, the Kinsey scale? Like, sexuality,
mm-hmm.
right? So people even struggle with that and think it's A or B.
Yeah.
Right? You're either straight or gay. And it's like, well, a bit of a sliding scale there.
There's so many bi people in Seattle. Right? Yeah.
Like, right? Or like I brought it up on the, like, sorry. I see some transsexual woman, like, that is a hot looking chick.
Right.
Right? Like they just, you know what I mean? Like, right. It's effeminate from the, it, Jesus. She's effeminate from
it's,
the top
it's
up.
Difficult, right? It's difficult, right? We're seeing how difficult it
right,
is.
Right, but it's
just
like
talk
natural,
about it.
Like, yep. for most guys, like, it's not weird that you're attracted to her. Like she has breasts and, like, great right. hair and makeup. Like,
right, she looks flawless.
Did a really good job, you know? Yeah. Like, she fooled you, right?
Yeah.
She fooled you. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's a very, very, like, nebulous topic, and it's really hard to kind of... I mean, I feel like there are people all throughout the spectrum. There are straight people, there are gay people, there are bisexuals, there are trans, there's people that fall all over the place. But one thing I do get somewhat irritated with, and there's, like, when people are like, oh, there's no such thing as something as an entirely straight person. And I'm like, no. I mean, you're allowed to have your identity. I'm allowed to have mine. Okay.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
All right. Like, you want to not be straight. That's cool. I can be straight. You know, you can't, like, tell me I'm not straight, you know, like,
right.
Well, I just don't believe.
You're just one shot tequila away from,
you know,
being a lesbian.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, let's just acknowledge that everyone can exist together, you know, just because one thing seems to be more, like, available now doesn't mean the other thing. It doesn't, like, nullify, like, the original options. Right. So options are good.
Yeah, I thought you brought up a good point. Like, let's everyone give each other a pass. You know, we're going to make mistakes in what we say. And yeah. So long as nobody's being a jerk about it, just correct them. And most people are decent human beings, at least the people I surround myself with. Obviously, there's idiots out there. But, like, if I screw up, like what I did with him, I was like, I'm sorry. And now I know not to do that again. And thankfully, he was able to just come back with a funny line about, hey, I get a bunch of free drinks because people think I'm a chick. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, at least we can laugh it off. But it could have been a really, really crappy situation because some people are just, like, so wound up and just so ready to pounce on somebody
right.
that says something that they view as offensive when it's like, no, the person's heart's in the right place. They just made a mistake.
Right. And it also, I think, it really mattered that he was of the consciousness to be chill about it.
Yes.
So it's like, you're of the you're of the consciousness to be chill, and he is of the consciousness to be chill, and so it works. So if, like, say you were chill and he wasn't chill, then it's not going to work, you know? So it's like, everyone needs to chill out.
Well, like the other girl I was talking about, like, she even, like, we were talking afterwards about, like, just, like, what bothers her when people just assume things about her. And she's like, and something came up, and she's like, I wish people would call me by this name. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Would you like us to refer to you by that name? And she's like, yeah, that would make my day. I'm like, here on out, that's your name now. I don't care. Like,
no,
I'm not gonna
curious.
Be like, I'm like,
yeah.
So let me know. Right, just tell me what your name is. It was like, just like, it went from, like, what, Julie was what she was going by, and then went by, like, Nevi or something like that.
Ew.
And I'm like, if you want me to call you Nevi, I'm not gonna be like, no, I'm not calling you that. Like, I'm putting my foot down. Like, everything else I was fine with, but now I'm done. Like, no, you're a good person. Of course I'm gonna call you whatever you want me to call you. I don't care.
It's like, call me Starburst.
Sure.
Jeez. Yeah. Why not? You know, let people invent their stuff, you know, like, pop artists keep changing their names, you know, we got to call mm-hmm. P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, like, you know, like, everyone's changing their identities. We tolerate it with celebrities, you know, might as well tolerate it with each other. You know?
I'm pretty sure it's love now, dude.
It's love.
It's not brother love.
I think it's just love.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can't have it be brother love. There's a wrestler that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be messed up. All right. Well, this has been a blast. Thank you for coming and hanging out. This just flew by. It's like over an hour and we're just.
For real, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we just hit
I got to go back to real work.
No, I hope you would want to do this more often.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. And again, people can find you on Twitter. It's Juliet Frette. And I'll make sure I put it on the description. So if people are looking to follow you on Twitter or check out your website, I'll throw that on there as well. And hopefully we can do this more often and have you be part of the Mega family.
Absolutely. As long as you validate my parking. Right?
Oh,
I know you guys don't validate parking.
That's a boss thing.
Don't worry. It's fine. Yeah. I'll come back.
No, well, you know what? Hey, Sergeant Hair Club's the guy who introduced us.
Yeah. Sergeant, did you say Sergeant Hair Club?
Him. Yeah. Dave.
Sergeant Hair Club.
Dave, I know you're listening to this because he was excited to have you be a part of this. Let's start validating Juliet's parking.
All right.
Yeah.
Dave.
You hear
the Mega Cast. It's where people come for validation.
It's okay.
Didn't we do a podcast where we said we don't validate?
You did. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm bugging you on that because remember, I was binge listening your stuff.
Right.
I'm like, don't I know you guys don't validate? I'm like, good news is it's a tax write off, I guess, for me, you know, if I have to pay for parking, you know, so worst case, Dave.
Don't worry, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, people that respect French cuisine validate.
Yeah. He's a foo foo eater, too.
I bet Dave's French, right, Dave? Are you French? No.
Is he? No.
No.
I don't know.
He's from New York.
I think everybody's a mutt. You know, we don't even know anymore who's anything. You know, if someone thinks they're Asian, it turns out they're like Irish. You know, like no one knows until you get the blood test done.
It's like that Ancestry.com is like blowing people's minds. And I question how legit or accurate that stuff is. But people are like, oh, this whole time I thought I was German. And turns out I'm Scottish.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a lot blacker than you think I am, just saying. No.
So
this is not a joke.
So Ted and I from the waist down. Yeah. Sorry. Are you really?
Yeah, I'm a little black. Yeah, I have a fun story about that, too. But we don't have any more time, so I guess we'll have to talk about it later.
Now we have a reason to do this again.
Yeah. Right.
So tune in next time as we find out how little of a black person Juliet is.
Big black person.
All right, well, thank you. And let's get our push-ups out of the way.
Yeah, man.
Last set. I'll do it again with the Zebrahead song.
Oh!
Yeah. Look at the technology's working finally.
Right?
All right, let's get 10, Mega Family.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight,
nine, 11.
Nine. I just like that somebody's going to walk by. Two men doing push-ups as a pregnant woman is just hovering over them like a drill sergeant.
10 more, boys. 10 more.
Let's go.
Get on that quarter deck.
You got this. All right, do it again. All right, you can follow us on Twitter at the Megacast, and we'll be back on next week.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. This was a blast. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.